The share tonight is to be a schus for a mother and a daughter who were in a terrible accident, neither of whom shlame by Yeshua. Chasya Chenim Mirul Basfagya Riva, and Ruchama Chana Bracha Bas Chasya Chenya Mirul. They need a refuah shleima b'karav. So Shara Chali Yisrael, we should hear only b'saras tayvus. We're on page, the top of page Kuf Samach Tes. Kuf Samach Tes, that would be the sixth page. Talking about Tikkun HaMidos Bechlal, which is a very, very hard subject, and it's a much harder undertaking than just to think and to talk about. It says in Pasuk, Nach B'Sidra Cheinu V'Nach Koira, that we just read this Pasuk a few days ago. So Nach B'Sidra Cheinu V'Nach Koira, that throughout one's life, a Jew has to be involved in Chipus Adrochem, Nach B'Sidra Cheinu, to constantly reevaluate, to constantly rethink, Nach B'Sidra Cheinu V'Nach Koira, to investigate. So we were learning last week at the end on page Kuf Samaches on page 5. Listen, before this, just by way of getting to the specific midah that we're going to be talking about, which is kina, that very often in life there are things that we say, things that we do, and we never really investigated, that we never really engaged in that malacha of Nach B'Sidra Cheinu V'Nach Koira, to investigate our actions properly. So we never really quite understand to what degree there could be in our words, in our actions, in our way of thinking about people, Sharoshim roots of Midas Rose, of terrible Midas, that were never really resolved. Things that we have, Shirayim, from when we were children. There are certain homes where there's a hergel to respond to certain things a certain way. When supper's not on time, there's a certain way of reacting. If homework is not done, there's a certain way of reacting. And very often we're Yoyresh, we inherit, along with all the wonderful things, we inherit sometimes things from the home, from Chaveirim, Chaveiris, we inherit things that the Shiroshim are not healthy, the roots are unhealthy, and the Anofim and the branches that spread throughout one's entire life can cause terrible damages, and we don't even realize, we don't think, that my way of talking might cause somebody else, Achalisa Sadas. So for me, this is fine. This is okay. How many times I've heard this, where a person will say, "Well, I'm very straightforward," and as if there's some sort of a footnote in the Chumash that says that there's some great and awesome mitzvah to be straightforward, even if it means killing people with your words. Where does it say that? There was an article I read years ago called "Back to Reticence." There was this thing during the '60s and the '70s that honesty is more important than being well mannered and groomed. So if you're someplace and you see someone and you don't particularly care for how he's dressing, how she looks, you could say, "I just wanted to tell you that I think that you look terrible tonight." And this is, of course, this is a very chashuva thing, to be honest, and the shem ha'emes, to destroy people. We learned at the end last week that the Rebbe Abunim was explaining that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, even though the Rebbeinu Shalom told him that this is the most important thing that ever happened, and all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael depend on you, and if they're going to stay there for another minute, for an additional minute, they're going to sink into the 50 levels of impurity. Moshe Rabbeinu's cheshbon was, not if it's going to hurt my brother Aaron. And until Moshe Rabbeinu was reassured by the Rebbeinu Shalom himself, that Aaron is such a tzaddik, you don't even know what a tzaddik he is, that even in the deepest part of his heart, it's not going to hurt him, that you're going to be leading Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Only after this reassurance could Moshe Rabbeinu go ahead with Yitzias Mitzrayim, which the Rebbe Bunim points out, which is unbelievable. If you think about it, it's unbelievable. Because What we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu was that if another Jew is going to have even a Chalitzas Hadas, here there is this great ideal that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to carry out, this unbelievable thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was not prepared to do it if it's going to cause one Jew Chalitzas Hadas, if it's going to cause somebody to feel brokenhearted, to feel upset, to feel depressed. So what we were talking about at the end last week is, this is something we have to do throughout our lives. We have to constantly daven for this and constantly try to think about this. My way of talking, even though I might be very comfortable with myself, and maybe my loved ones are used to this, could it be that the way that I'm going to say this or the words that I'm going to use might cause this person Chalitzas Hadas? And that's what we're up to on the top of page Kuf Samech Tes. So the third line, it says, Ubisfas Emes. You see that? The third line of Kuf Samech Tes on page 6? Ubisfas Emes, Schusi Agen Eleinu. V'chein Yisa Ma'id Harbi Tzadikim Schusi Magen Eleinu. The Yehudi Yochel Limdai Kol Matzava Ba'avaydis Hashem Esbarach B'zeh. Not only that, these Tzadikim taught that even though Bichlal, in general, it's hard to know where each and every one of us is holding in Avodas Hashem. Where are we holding? We know about certain problems, certain good points, certain not such good points, but what does Hashem Yisbarach think of us? Maybe we don't want to know, but if we could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send down a little tzettel, a little note, now how am I doing today? What do you think of me today? So a lot of it depends on this, the tzaddikim taught. We can read the Hebrew on the bottom, it's easier than the Yiddish and Chav on the bottom. Kfi mashu, you see what it says Chav, footnote, well it's translation Chav. Kfi mashu yoyse mezukach, yoyse noki, yoyse tar, yoyse gavah, yoyse ruma. That to the degree that a person has been more refined, more pure, more exalted, kach kol ha'ayfen shel hadiburim shlo, so it is with all of his words. In other words, you want to know who you are, where you're holding, it has a lot to do with how you speak to people. V'shal ha'sicha shalai. V'shal ha'tshuva shuhu meshev. How he answers people. V'shal ha'sheila shuhu shayla. How do you ask people questions? V'he'imru shuhu oimer. The things that you say. V'chol ha'nog shalai. Kol nasa ba'ifin she'en agarim shum chalishas adas l'shum yehudi. If you're somebody who is causing other Jews, now it's true that there are a lot of sensitive people. Somebody could say, how are you doing? A person could be upset. How can you ask me how I'm doing? We're not talking about people who are unusually, extraordinarily sensitive. But if you're the kind of a person who, with your words or actions, are causing people on a regular basis to be upset, to feel hurt, to feel insulted, to have a chalishas hadas, that's a siman that in Hashem's eyes you're not doing well. You're not, the briyos, Hashem's creatures, are not enjoying you. They're not enjoying you, even though you have some fantastic, important mission to work on, and you're going to save the whole world, but you're running over a lot of people in the process of doing it, so then in Shemayim, then in Himmel, in Heaven, they're not pleased with you. And Lashum Yehudi doesn't just mean a stranger. Loi Babayis means in your own home. Loi L'chaveirim, your friends. Loi L'krovim, we're going to talk a lot about this. Bechlal, when it comes to Tikkun HaMidos, if you want to know where you're holding, it's generally not going to be with strangers where we're usually on our best behavior. V'yahavt l'ra'acha kamoicha, we're going to learn, means that davka, when it comes to those people who are most kamocha, who are most like you, meaning that they're part of your lives every day, a husband, a wife, children, close friends, that davka, when it comes to parents, those who are most kamoicha, those who are most bound up to your life, their davka is the greatest test to find out whether you are an Ohev Yisrael, whether you really love Jews. Not when it comes to strangers. It's a lot easier to love Jews when it comes to people that you meet, people from the community, from the neighborhood. The question is, you know, a roommate. Generally the rule was that if you ever want to lose a friend, you become roommates with the person, right? Because then you see... You see who that person really is. And you see who you really are. And where's your Ahavas Yisrael holding? And based upon your Ahavas Yisrael, that's how the Baruch Shalom loves you. We're going to talk about that a lot. If you want to know how does the Baruch Shalom feel about you, the greatest test is how do you feel about Hashem's Baruch's children? If you have very negative thoughts about other Jews, and you have negative things to say about other Jews, it's a siman that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has negative things to say about you, God forbid. The less spiritual a person is, the less exalted, the less holy a Jew is, the further you are from Hashem, the less careful he is, the less careful the person is with how he talks about other people, how he makes other people feel. In other words, this person could be someone that knows a lot. He or she has learned a lot and dresses in the most sneezdic and proper way. And is careful with Shabbos and with Yontif, and is careful with all the mitzvahs. And yet, somewhat of a consistent basis, is hurting other people. Is hurting other Jews. So then you find out who you really are. That's what the Sfasemis and the other tzaddikim say. That's what Sfasemis is saying, that's who you really are. So back on top after Chav, it's like 7-8 lines down. And that's what Rabbi Kiva taught. That V'ahavla Racha Kamaycha is the great klal, is the principle of the entire Torah. Shemize Avshul Yehudi Livchenatz Meitomid. Because you can test yourself. Ma Matzavu B'chol HaTorah. What is your matzav? How are you as a Jew B'chlal? You want to know how are you as a Jew B'chlal? The main way of testing that is to know how are you when it comes to V'ahavta L'racha Kamaycha. How are you causing other Jews to feel good about themselves? Are you causing them to feel his chazkis, to feel stronger, to feel better, to feel happier? Or are you, God forbid, causing other Jews to feel chalish zadas, to feel weak, to feel hurt and broken? That's a simon of where you're holding in Hashem Baruch's eyes. We're going to talk a lot about that. The kulon of the next paragraph. The kulon of Yoidim is it. And we know this. U'meshtadlin b'zeh, u'bederach klal, af echad ein hoylech b'meizid ligram agmas nefesh v'tzar li'yehudi. So the tzaddik says, look, we know this. Nobody wants intentionally to hurt another person. We're not trying, God forbid, to intentionally hurt someone. Chas v'sholom. When we come up on the mivdai gatzmeinu nira kam apamim zok ben avart, adem erfen ein vart. But if you think carefully, if you're a Jew who lives in that way of nachbis adrochenu v'nachkaira, if you're somebody who tries to think over, at the end of the day, what did I say? How did that person look when I said that? You know, I got a good laugh. Everybody was laughing, but there was one person in the room that wasn't laughing. If you're a person who thinks nachbis adrochenu v'nachkaira, so he says that we'll see sometimes, zok ben avart, you say sometimes a word, or maybe merfen ein vart, or maybe sometimes more than one word. Sheyoch ligrim agmas nefesh. V'tzar, that could cause, God forbid, agmas nefesh, or anguish, chalish sadas. Ubli bedika gedoyle v'chipas gadol. And unless you think over, certainly before you say something, and try to review the way that you speak, how you say things. Har be'pomim en yoydim imazeba. Very often you don't even know. Loma martiza. How many times we think back and we realize that we did hurt someone. Or that person says, if the person's courageous enough, they might not want to tell you because then you're going to cut them down more. But if the person's courageous enough and they'll tell you, I have to say to you something, you know, I was very hurt by what you said the other day. And then you realize, I did hurt you and you don't know. Loma martiza. Like, why did I say that? Why did I say that? Why did I make that comment? Or v'lam hisna hakti kein, why did I act that way? Why wasn't I more careful not to cause another person, and very often someone that I love, agmas nefesh, mitzav, chlish sadas, imze babayis in the house, imze babis hamedrash in the yeshiva, imze lechaver, a friend, elastam, Yehudi or Yid, aval imas chilum lechapis v'livdoik, not just to try to think over what did I say. Okay, I said something and I hurt this person. So now you might say, okay, I'm going to try not to hurt people anymore. You know that doesn't work. The only thing that can work, and that's what we're talking about, is if the person lives in this way of nachbis adrochenu v'nachkar, which means What mida did this come from? I said these things, and I've said things like this in the past. Or I've acted this way in the past. Or I have hurt other people. Why do I say that? What causes me to act that way? In other words, one has to be baidek to try to examine the shirish, the root of that particular way of acting, that way of speaking. That's what he says. Just like we learned last week, that Korach was a gewaltige tzaddik. But Korach wanted something, he said something that caused terrible agmas nefesh to Moshe Rabbeinu, terrible tzar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And Korach what? Even though the letters of Korach's name spell Chakor, which means to investigate. And he had the power of Chakira. But we learned last week that according to Chazal, Korach never ever dreamt, he never thought about this. That it was coming from what? From a midah that was called kinna, jealousy. And that what he was saying, even though it sounded so idealistic, so wonderful, I want to be Makar of all Jews. I want to be able to go to the Holy of Holies. I want to save the entire world. But it was all coming from kinna. It was coming from jealousy. Because the one whose letters spell chakor, to investigate, was not chayker. And therefore he caused a karcha, a division, a split. Right? That means a division, a split, to be karech, mikan, mikan. He caused a division and a split. And isn't that true with all of us? That when we don't try to understand, why do I say these things? Why does this happen that I'm causing people tsar, like misnefesh? If we just say, I'm going to try to be more careful, it doesn't work. But nachmas of drachenev and nachkari means I have to get to the bottom of myself. To be choyker. To investigate, why do I cause karchas? Why do I cause separation, division, problems, and fights? And very often we just say, nah, the other person is too sensitive. And then it turns out that there are like minyonim of people in your lives that are too sensitive. Minyonim. Or minyonos. Of people that are overly sensitive. It could be that you're dafka surrounded by such people. But in all likelihood, you're being insensitive, and there's something wrong. And one has to try to find the shirish of that way of talking and acting. The root of it. Loma amartikein. Loma esnahaktikein. Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? I know that myself, that there are times when I know that I'm going to be with a certain person, that it's going to be a very big nisoyin for my midas. There are certain people, you know, that you know this is going to be a big nisoyin. And I prepare myself that usually I know this person acts in a certain way, and I say to myself, Moshe, you're gonna have to work very hard that you shouldn't have a negative reaction, not in thought, not in words, not in actions. And then I do it. You know, it happens again. I mess up. And even with all the hachanis, this is in the preparing that I know that I have a hard time with this Jew. I know that I'm gonna have a hard time, and I expect it to be difficult. And afal pichei, I'm nichshel. Why? Because unless you are searching for the shirish, why do you have to react that way to the person every time? In other words, what is it about? Not about him. There are always going to be people that are difficult. None of us are living in a place where everything is perfect, with people that are perfect. They're always going to be in the siyanis, in midas, every minute of your life, and unless you live by yourself. Otherwise, they're going to be always, all the time, they're going to be in the siyanis when it comes to midas. But if we never were misharesh to get to the bottom of who we are, and to be honest about something that's wrong inside of ourselves, so even with all the hachanis and all the bad feelings afterwards, we're going to react in the wrong way. Because I'm going to talk about the shiroshim, these roots. All of us know how terrible the aveir of lashon hara is. And we've all learned how even one negative word about an individual Jew, or even worse, God forbid, about a community of Jews, is poigim, how much damage it causes for yourself, for your children, L'chol ha'olam, and in the entire world it causes damage, one bad word. That what the Chazal taught, that even a word that's negative, eizet dibur kolshul, a word, she'ena lefi kvoido shel eizet yochid tzibur, that doesn't become, that's not becovedic for that individual, or certainly when it comes to a community of Jews, hu lashon hara, that's lashon hara, ve'ena pashir klal, and a pashut klal. See, even if you don't know the halachas, because a lot of people just say, forget it. The halachas of lashon hara are very, very hard. They're very hard, it's true. And it could take a lifetime just to learn carefully, to learn the Chofetz Chaim, and to learn properly Shmiras HaLashon, all the halachas, and to know what's considered to be an issur of lashon hara. It's very hard to know. You know, there's a teaching from the Tzaddikim, from the Chayza from Lublin, and others, which is something that I think about all the time. I wish I would be better at carrying it out, but I definitely do think about it. It happened once with the Chayza. The Chayza said himself that there was a certain Inyan that came, there was a certain nisoyin in his life, and it wasn't clear to him whether it was permitted or forbidden to him to go on in a certain direction. It wasn't clear. In other words, the halacha wasn't clarified in his mind. You could say like this and like that. It wasn't clarified. So the Chayza said that he stopped and he thought, a simple thought. He asked himself this question. If I act this way, do I believe really with all of my heart that it's going to cause Hashem Baruch to have more nachas ruach than me? In other words, is this going to give the Baruch Shalom more nachas? Is this going to cause more kavod shemayin and more nachas ruach? Or not? So the Chayza said that after thinking about this for a while, he realized, he said, I don't yet know the halacha clearly in this inyan, but offhand it seems to me that if I proceed with a certain mahalach, with A instead of B, that it doesn't seem to me that that's going to cause nachas ruach for the Baruch Shem. And so he didn't do it. And then after that, it became immediately clear to him, he said, that first way was forbidden according to halacha. Now, it happens sometimes that we don't know what the halach is. And we don't have the Chofetz Chaim with us. And even if you have it with you, it's hard to know. And we're not quite sure. But especially when it comes to Jewish women who have an unbelievable intuition, if each one of us would stop, if a person would stop and say, and think to himself, to herself, is this becovedic? Or maybe it's not us, sir, I'm not sure. But is this going to give more nachas ruach to Hashem if I say this? Is this more becovedic if I say this, or if it's less becovedic than I say this? 99% of the time, a Jew, it says in the Gemara, Imlay Nevi'im Hay, B'nei Nevi'im Hay, right? It means even though we might no longer be prophets, but we're the children of prophets. And the Eish Kodesh, the Piasetzin explained, that doesn't just mean that we come from prophets, meaning that that's our background. It means that every Jew has a certain Ruach HaKodesh. We have a certain awareness, especially if you live according to mitzvahs and you were brought up in a religious home and you want to do the right thing. Most of us intuitively are able to feel what gives more nachas ruach, what gives more nachas to Rabbeinu Shalom, and what would cause less nachas to Rabbeinu Shalom. What would cause less nachas to Rabbeinu Shalom? So you'll find this works many times. It comes especially to Indian. So you'll see, like say, it comes to watching a certain show. So a person can make all kinds of diyunim. And to say, I don't know, because it's a shayla, maybe it's also mitzmuta, because the language is not right, but then there's no galei rayis, there's nothing actually happening. But you know that if you stop and you say, okay, look, will my father, will the Baruch Shalom have more nachas if I look into a sefer instead of watching the show? Or will he have more nachas if I watch this show? That pretty much puts an end to the whole Maisa, no? What will give him more Nachas? And if you're a Jew that wants to give the Baruch Shalom Nachas, you want to give him Nachas, so then even though you can make a Cheshbon, that I heard that many people say bad things about these type of Jews. You know, I don't know, about this group of Jews. I've heard people, even a rabbi I heard said something negative about this group of Jews. So, but then you stop, you say, will that give Nachas Ruach? Do I have to say something? Do I have to make a comment about the Yeshivish, or about the Lubavitch, or about the Chassidim? Will it give more Nachas to Rabbi Shalom? So the Chayza said that if you think that way, Ruba, the vast majority of times, you're not going to be nichshel in doing something that's forbidden according to Allah. So what he's saying here is that a person has to think, even if you don't know what Allah is, but it's ein lechvi chvayda shle'eze yochad etziver. Without knowing what the halach is, if I'm going to say something that's not bekovedig, it's not bekovedig about a certain tzibur or a certain group of Jews or a certain, is it going to be more bekovedig or less bekovedig? Ven a posha klal chiyadu mechazal shenor beplonya havi lashon hara. Without going to the details, there are some very subtle comments. You know, there's a fire in this person's house, could be even Lashon Hara. It's very hard to know. The laws of Lashon Hara are very, very complicated. When is it Lashon Hara? In other words, would that person be happy if I'm saying this to other people? Would he want other people to know that he had this problem in his house? Chadoyme, things like that. So we might not know the halacha. And Ulai, in the brackets there, okay, it could be it's not the racist Rabbanan and so on. We could go past the brackets because really this is complicated in halacha. When is it Lashon Hara? When is it maybe not the Raisa? When is it from the Chachamim? But Dibur Shel Miriam HaNevi al Moshe Rabbeinu al Avishol. So you know that much of the halacha we learn from what? From Miriam speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Av Shomer Raksha Nagodl Meha Ovis HaKadosh. Even though we know that according to Chazal's understanding, what she said was that Moshe Rabbeinu is not as great as the others. Without going into that Maisa, which you're all familiar with, but she said that he's not as great as the others. Amar Chazal v'nissa b'Rambam b'Havi Lashon Hara. The din is that what Miriam said was Lashon Hara. Of course, he says, Muvin Shein Shemetz Hasag v'Maisa Miriam, people like us can't understand Miriam's mistake because we're not on that level. Listen, but that's the halacha. So therefore we see what? That ain't var, ain't tnua. That one word, or even a gesture. You know, you can make a certain face, or you can wave your hand a certain way, you can nod your head a certain way. So you're thinking, it's not evil, what did I say? That he's not as great as the others? Okay, no. I didn't say anything evil. I didn't say he's a bad person. But it's einu lefi chvayda. It's not bekovetik. It's not nachas ruach. And then he says, Korshal adar v'tzinarab manirofik might. He says, I personally am very far from this level. Aval mishtadl nischazik biyachad, next page. But we're trying together to get to find chizik. Kama pomim kshem adar me'ez yochad me'ez tzibur. How many times does it happen to us that when you speak about a certain person or about a certain community, derech agav oimim ezemila, derech agav, that it wasn't a main part of your point or conversation, but derech agav, what you said something, ezemila, a word, a kamamilam, she'en lefi chvaydam, it wasn't lefi chvaydam, machtavek abissel, means it could be that what? That you made a little bit of a gesture, a motion, or you said something which was a little bit al-sad ha-bitl, that was a little bit negative, or putting down, or making a little bit chayzik. Uberega echad yichayim likashol ba'ayfen noir, in that moment you could have failed in a terrible, terrible way. Ulisvarki chas v'sholom avinu shebishamayim, and you've torn yourself away from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. V'ligrim korbonis, and you're causing mamish destruction, devastation. U'kemashi debarnim, as Hashem kam ha-pa'amim. And how careful we have to be when someone calls to ask you about a shidduch. So you're telling somebody else about the shidduch, or that you know that your child, your daughter, or your son went out with a certain girl, a certain boy, and someone wants to know what you have to say about it. So you know there's a din, there's a halacha, there are many halachas in this area, that if it's a to'elus, you're trying to help the person. Therefore, in order to help the person, you're allowed to say certain things. You're not supposed to hide certain things that you know were not right. So there is a halacha of it being a to'elus. Or if somebody was involved in a business with your husband or with yourself, some sort of a business thing, and it wasn't 100%, and you have to, therefore, you're being asked by another Jew, and you don't want another Jew, God forbid, to fall in, could lose money. So there are halachis in Hilchos Lashon Hara that say that you're allowed to say, it's a to'elus. You know how careful you have to be when you're talking to another person about a shidduch. You know how many times this has happened with the children themselves. You'll have a girl that will go out with a boy. And it wasn't what she wanted. It wasn't what she wanted. So then the possibility is raised for one of her chavitas, right? For one of her friends. So then she'll say, yeah, he's not so frum like he looks. Wow. In other words, you made an evaluation that to that, and that girl's, and you know there are girls and boys whose lives are destroyed by the chaverim or the chavitas saying things that are not necessary. If there's a particular Indian that bothered you, so you could say, you know what, he didn't open the door for me. And then you leave it up to that person to evaluate how important door opening is for her, for the next girl. So she could say, it's not about Derech Eretz. But for you to say, for this girl to say, the guy is mamish, he's not a nice guy, he's not about Derech Eretz. LeMarshall, he didn't open the door. But then you give the impression that what? That Bechlal, he's not a nice guy, he's not refined. And then what happens is that one chavita hears this, and then, so she's for sure not going to go out with this boy, and then she tells already another chavita, I heard from Sprinzer, I heard from Yentl, that what? The guy is mamish a chazer. And already it's a whole thing, and it could be that everybody in town thinks that this guy is not about Derech Eretz. And maybe he even did try to open the door, and something was, I don't know, who knows? How the kids themselves sometimes are killing each other with words. And when you're asked about the shidduch, if there's something that you know for a fact, and you think, and it's a to'elus, and you run it by in your mind, and you're careful to say, mamish, only what's a to'elus. But if there's one extra word, an editorial comment, or if you see the person, you make a certain gesture of bittul, with the hand. Or it's not for Inzer mention. He's not our type of person. The family's not our type of family. What does that mean? It's not our type. But some people I would say, Baruch Hashem, if it's not your type. And maybe that's a mile if it's not your type. But sometimes a person will say, it's not for us. It's not our type. And you don't know, what does that mean? It's not our type. Who knows? What that means, it's not our type. And these lashonos, then they get carried on one to the other. Would you like to be in the room of a girl who's crying because she wasn't set up, because somebody has something to say about her? Would you like to be together that night and for you to look at her in the face and say, I'm the one that said those words that have now gotten around the entire shul or the entire community? That what? That you're not such a fine girl like they say you are. You're not a tzinua, or you're not an edla, whatever it is. What does it mean, she's not edla? Someone says she's not an edel girl. What's your hashara to say? If you want to say that she said, yo, pass the ketchup, and say that, listen, I was a little taken aback. She said this, she said such a lotion, pass the ketchup, So then they'll evaluate whether that's a midah of edelkeit, that it's not for you, it's not edel enough. But to say, nay, she's not an edel girl. You're touching up a whole human being. And rest assured, that if you live in Flatbush, then all of Flatbush is going to know about it. If you live in Borough Park, if you live in Muncie, if you live in the Five Towns, it gets around very quickly. Oh, what? He's not an Adler. This girl's not an Adler girl. You be there in the room with her when she's crying, and she'll never find out. How did it get out such a word that she's not a nice girl? And how we ourselves learned this when we got involved in trying to, with our own daughter, how the children will say about somebody such a stark lashon, a strong lashon, that they heard from another kid. And where, what, who? Is it true? B'chlal. Well, that the boy is not a bentayer. What does it mean he's not a bentayer? What does that mean he's not a bentayer? That can mean a lot of things. He's not a bentayer. And then it gets around, he's not a bentayer. Well, we had another thing that'll come up. I don't think that this person is for you, for your family, because we heard that he went out with a certain type of a girl. This is already a cliche. So, Kainam Kol, it could be that that girl is a very nice girl. You don't even know for a fact. Number one. Number two, because it's not from your chug, it's not from your little coffee click. But number two, what does that mean? It means to say such a lashon that this person, that he's possible because he went out with a certain kind of a girl. Maybe he was misled. Let's say even if there's something wrong with that girl, which I don't even know. But maybe he himself was misled. Maybe there wasn't, maybe he himself with the family, they were tamimistic and they didn't get all the information and so on and so on, whatever it is. Bare face, who knows? But to paskin on a Jewish, on a child, to say that she's not good, he's not good. So he's saying in one moment, you know, you could take yourself mamish away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could destroy your whole family, your whole life. Ubli b'dika, the last three lines of that paragraph. Ubli b'dika v'chesh b'na nefesh. And unless a person makes a b'dika and a chesh b'na nefesh, especially in this Indian, when it comes to shiduchim, sometimes when you say something, a certain hash'ara, it might not even be with the best interests in mind for the person you're talking to. It could be some cheshbon that you have. Cheshbon that you have. It could be kinah. It could be some level of envy or jealousy. God forbid. Nobody would admit this, but remember, Korach didn't admit to his problem either. That sometimes you might not want that girl from the other family to get a shidduch before your daughter. You would never ever say that. And you would never think that consciously. What kind of a Jewish person, if anybody would say, you don't want that girl to have a shidduch for your daughter? So, chas v'sholom, I want every Jewish girl to go under the chuppah b'shatayim u'mitzlachas. But if you think sometimes, nachmas adrachenim anachkayra, it might be you come to find that there's this ugly little piece inside. It's not who you are as a human being, you're a very wonderful person, but there's an ugly little thing that maybe you've been in competition with that person for the last 15, 20 years. Maybe when you were still in 10th grade, you were competing with that person, and you're still in the race. There's still a race going on. Unless it's nachmas adrachenu v'nachkaira, and you try to understand yourself and the midas hakina, what does it mean? A guy that covered whatever it is, kaz, so then you wouldn't feel it at all. Or believe the dika v'cheshman nefesh ein magishim zeklal. You wouldn't realize this at all, and you would walk away from the conversation, hang up the phone, thinking, "Boy, did I save that person's life? Everything I said was mamish kapulila toelis. There wasn't a word of lashon hara, because the Chafetz Chaim said that if it's a toelis, I'm helping the person, I'm saving the person. V'afilu margishim. And even if afterwards you are an honest person and you think, "Wow, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have made that gesture." Why did I do that? You don't know where it came from. Why did I act that way? Why did I say that? What's the root of that? How much our Father in Heaven wants Sheyehudi yardish v'yirat tamid ha'mailas shall call Yehudi. That we should always see the mailas, the good points in another Jew. We should always see the mailas in another Yid. In the tefila, you know, in the Rebbe Melech's tefila. If you look in the siddur, and most siddurim will have the Rebbe Melech from Lezhensk, his tefila that say before davening. If you look in the siddur, you'll see most siddurs have it. So one of the things in the tefillah before you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning, you ask the Baruch Hu, help me, that I should only see the ma'ilus of another Jew. I should only see the good points in another person. According to the Arizal, before you daven every morning, I mentioned this the first year, that before you say Matayv Olach Yaakov, you should say, Harin Mekabalim, it's a Seishal, V'Hachdir Rach HaKamaycha, I accept upon myself What, to love every Jew, to try to love each Jew, to see only the good points in another Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to build a Mishkan. Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nelson Bresler explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to build a Mishkan because he told each Jew to bring the gold, right, the silver, the copper. And Rabbi Nachman Bresler said that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the good points in every Jew, that this is a golden Eid, that his Maila, what's the Maila of this Jew? That he's about tzedakah. What's the Maila of another Jew? He davens nicely. What's the Maila of this Jew? The Maila of this Jew is learning. The Maila of another Jew is that she is machnas kala. She helps when it comes to achnasas kala. But to see the Mailas, so each Jew has different Mailas. Moshe Rabbeinu could build a Mishkan because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take every Jew to see his good Mailas. And when you see the good, when you see the milas in the yid, you gather together. This one has gold. This one's silver. This one's copper. Every Jew has different milas toivus and different schusim. And when you take the milas toivus and you focus on the good points of that person, so then when you gather them together, you can build the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of sin chinam, because of hatred. Because a tnai, in order to build the Beis Hamikdash means what? It means the indwelling of the Shechina. It means that the divine presence can dwell in this place. That's what it means, the Beis Hamikdash. That means to see how in each and every Jew, there are milas, and the Shechina, the divine presence, exists, is dwelling in Mamish, in this Yid. There's something about this person that it's not to my liking, it's not my taste. Emes. But there are milas, there's so many milas in this person, that caused the Shechina Kedoshah to dwell in this person's life, to live with this person. So Menachem Rabbi Nosson said that that's how you build a Mishkan, you build a Beis HaMikdash with the Milas, with the Nekudas Toivus of a Yid. That's how you build a Mishkan, that's how you build a Beis HaMikdash. And if you don't see the Milas, every time you say something bad about a Jew, you see something bad, it's like you're taking one of the stones of the Beis HaMikdash and you're throwing it away. You're taking a stone from the Beis HaMikdash because, why? Because that Maila, that good point in that Yid is like a stone of the Beis HaMikdash. And if you see something negative in the person, you say something bad, it's like you're taking one of the stones of the Beis HaMikdash and you're throwing it on the side. Because the Beis HaMikdash means Knesset Yisrael. It means all Klal Yisrael. And the Baruch Shalom loves Klal Yisrael. And therefore Shlomo Melech said about the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Toichai Rotzuf Ahava. The Beis HaMikdash is built with Ahava, with love. And when a Jew does not love other Jews, so then it's machri, it causes a chorban, and it destroys the Beis HaMikdash. It prevents Mashiach from coming. Therefore, he says, look, kamarotz navinu shebashamayim sheyehudi yargish v'yir tamar ha-mailu shel kol Yehudi. The Baruch Hashem wants so badly that we should see the mailus of every Jew, the good points of every Jew. Shekol yochid of each individual Jew, v'shekol tzibur, of a community of Jews. You have Jews that are shomrei Torah mitzvahs, that they're observing mitzvahs, and they're brought up in a different way. So they don't have all of your hanhagas. But Hashem Zbaruch wants us to see good in them, what they're able, what they do, and how caring they are, and how good they are. After the brackets, who told us who's your gemilin? They told us right. Because of the called Yehudi, Yochel Ahavchen Amasam Shel and Neshama Shleim Yizeh. Like we said at the beginning, if you want to know the matzav, what kind of a neshama you have, where is your neshama holding at that moment in your life? So the told us said you could tell. She'im Mishdadal Liresu LaHaygish Kaseidah Hamaylis. If you're a Jew that is always trying to see what the good in another Jew. Is a simon that your own soul is mamish pure and is holy at that time. It means that you're on a high level if you try to see the mindless in another yid. And if God forbid, it's the opposite. It's a simon that you need a great ticket for your neshama. It's a simon that there's something that's terribly wrong if you don't see the mindless, if you're always seeing the chesroinus in Jews. And you could make all kinds of excuses. Again, I heard from this person, I heard from that rabbi. But if you don't see the good, I mentioned this bichlal when it comes to different chugim. So you have, you know, it was a pella, it was a horrible thing. And I spoke to my shul about this. You know, there was this Nebuch, this unfortunate group of Jews, a small group of Yidden, Hashem should help them. That you remember that they, it's hard to even talk about the Rabbim, that they went and they demonstrated with Palestinians. You know what I'm talking about, right? Hashem Yirachem. And to go into people that will shake Arafat's hands. Hashem Yirachem. So there was an email going around. I don't know if it was just in our neighborhood. Stam, when it comes to emails, it goes out of one neighborhood. That what the email was, that everybody should boycott Satmar. No one should buy Golden Flow or to go buy this milk or that milk or that fleishig that comes with Satmar. No one should go. So I got up in front of it, and I rarely talk about these things. Everybody that knows me. I said to the Bismedesh, I said to the Mechaveir and Shul, I said, I'll tell you, let me ask you something. Next time your mother's in the hospital, you're going to boycott Bikkur Cholim, the nice old lady from Williamsburg that comes with some hot soup for you? You Jews that are Heilige Yidden, holy Jews, you're going to boycott, because they don't even know that. What is that group in Washington that went to with the, well, they have to do a Satmar anyway. It's not even the same thing. Besides, they don't even know. That in Satmar, they don't let them into the Beis Medrash either, those people. They're not even allowed to daven in the Beis Medrash, those guys that go to the Palestinians. But besides, they don't know. So what? So we're going to boycott businesses that are run by Holocaust survivors, right? Who only love Jews and say sweet things, because they are chassidim of the Satmar Rebbe, Schus Yageinu Leinu. We should all be Zayich. Where does it? So you have to ask yourself, why? I said that. Why are you saying such a thing? Were you Dorish v'chayka? Are you prepared to say, don't buy any milk from, don't go shopping by these people? Did you look into the whole ma'aser b'chlal? Do you know who these people are? Were you punishing some alter yidden for what? For who? For somebody who went to march with Palestinians, never come a shigun in some place? There's a group of 10 people, and for that you're punishing a tzibur of Jews that are holy people. And I would say it's the same thing for anybody who will condemn, whether it's a young Israel community, whether it's a community from Gush Emunah people, or it's a group of Chabad. So this one says about Chabad, until you stop someplace, and oh, Gevaldik, Lubavitch, help me out. Such nice people. But you could stand in the back of your shul, and all of Lubavitch is treif, all of Lubavitch is possible. All of Lubavitch and Meshechistim and this and that, you don't even know what Meshechistim are. You don't know what the Machlokes is. Vase, the hen in the hair. I don't know either. But the bottom line is, you have to be very careful when you're saying words about young Israel Jews, about Rav Kook people, about Hasidim, about Yeshivish. A whole tzibur, you're touching up a whole tzibur of Eden, a whole community of Jews, with one word, a churban. How much toiv, how much good comes out of those young Israels? How much toiv, how much chesed comes out of Lubavitch? How much toiv and chesed, how much sincerity, how much Torah comes out from the Gush people, from the Rav Kook people, whatever you want to call it. How much toiv, how much chesed? So there are chilukim and shittas and philosophy. If we hear our children come back from yeshiva, especially the boys, they come back with things. You hear the boys come back from yeshiva saying words like this, You have to stop them the same way if you see them going, God forbid, putting milchis at their fleishigs. The same way you see your child, God forbid, putting on a light on Shabbos, you would scream, what are you doing? It's Shabbos. If a boy comes back from yeshiva saying bad things about groups of Jews, you have to scream, Shabbos. The same thing, a yid. What are you talking about, yidden? About a tzibur of Jews, about holy people. Do you know how many chasodim come out from that community? How much toiv comes out from that community? Do we understand the chlal? Do we look at ourselves with our own faults? What's missing in our communities? What's missing in our lives? That people will be prepared to be machir, they'll say about a certain shul. At that shul, you know what kind of people go to that shul. You know how many times I've heard this? They'll talk about a certain shul. This some shul and flapper shul, you know, there's a certain type of people go. What does that mean? A certain type of people. What? Kaifrim? It's a shul for people who don't believe in God? What kind of a shul is it? It's a certain type of a shul. You know, it's not our type. We're all guilty of that, myself included, no?
We're all guilty of these kind of things. But if you're Dairish Bechayk and you think about it, that that's not the Rotsin of Anavinu Shabashamayim, that the Baruch Hu doesn't want us to say these things. It doesn't give him Nachas Ruach to hear his children saying things about other children of his. It doesn't give him Nachas. And what did you gain by it, Bechlal? What do we gain by these Diburim, by this Narishkeit? It could have to do with Kinna and Sinna, Stam. And that's what he's saying. The last paragraph on the bottom there. If we look carefully into our own lives, why do I have this negative feelings about this group or this person? Why do I feel this way? Not just why did I say it. Why do I feel this way? What brought me to say it? Why didn't I see good, this person has so many milas. Everybody else loves this person. How come I see all the chesroinos? Why is it that I meet this person and I see only chesroinos? Everybody else seems to get along, I see chesroinos. You see the milus of a yid, it's a from a yid, it's not the way you were raised, it's different. So milus, so many milus. When we first moved into our community and I had this conversation with one of the children, the first time that one of our daughters saw one of the ladies in the shul in a pair of pants. You know, so on Shabbos, everybody's dressed a certain way. So, we were driving someplace, and my girl, they saw this lady from the shul walking around in pants. What's going on? How could that be? She comes to shul to daven, she's wearing pants. So I spoke to her and I said, look, this inyan is an important inyan, of course, and it could be that where she was raised, she didn't learn this halacha, or even if they learned it, it wasn't necessarily given over in the right way. And whatever the inyan is, I don't know. It certainly is halacha. Of course a woman can't wear pants. It is halacha, but she didn't, either it wasn't taught properly, or she wasn't mekabelet a certain way because of the environment. But this lady is up every Thursday night packing for Tamchei Shabbos till 2 in the morning. And this lady is a Murid de Kabbalah's Chesed. Anybody that needs her, day or night, she's running to do Toivis for the whole community. It's a lot harder to do that than to buy a nice skirt, you know? It's a lot harder. So, not that she's allowed to wear pants. Of course, we have to teach our children, Vadi, you can't wear. You have to dress a certain way. That's the halach. But you're not going to tight shop. Don't you dare tight shop a Jewish woman because of how she dresses. God forbid. Don't you come to a conclusion that she's not from or that she's not our type. You're right, she might be much more from than we are. In this Indian, there's a chasara. In halacha. And if it really hurts you, then you'd be more careful with sneers. Maybe it'll be mashpia on other Jews. But to say something about another Jew, or to think something negative about a Jew, that Mistamashi doesn't care, and it doesn't make a difference to her. No, how do you know? How could you say that? She doesn't care. First, somebody has to understand it in you to not care about it. These are things that happen all the time. And I believe it happens, Agav, that because my children have seen the unbelievable tzaddikim and tzadkaniyas in our community, that it's helped them see Jews in a different way. Because when you just are a guest someplace, you don't pick up on these things. But when you live somewhere, and the children see how good these Jews are, even though not all of them were raised in the same way, but how good they are, and how much they love their Baruch Shalom, and how they're trying to become better. So then you have a different way of looking at Jews. Sometimes if you're raised in a very, very, if you're raised in a very insulated way, so anybody that's different from you is automatically, it's in Gepaskin that it's, you know, that person's no good. So to see the milus of other Jews, and not to see the chesroinus of other Jews, it's an avoider of an entire life to see the milus of Jews. Hamilus shall call you the shevetayim mitzvahs of bliyas boinless, unless you think carefully of achshava of avoider and yoyde mahasherish lizim. Unless you're a person that lives by nachmas adrachin of a kar, you're not going to know why. Why did I think that? Like, why do I say these things? And you might just go, you might just justify by saying, well, because I'm very religious, and therefore, because I'm so religious, I am opposed to women that wear pants. I'm part of that anti-pants movement. But then you'll find that that same person can be talking during davening 90% of the time. The same kanoi, when he goes to the mountains, he doesn't dress the same way he does in the city. With all the kanois, he also might occasionally watch a little video. He might occasionally see a movie or something. But all the kanois. He's going to say Yiddishkeit. If you love Jews so much and you're so worried about pants and skirts, then adarabba, then teach halacha, be mashpia on Jews, invite them to your home, have good things to say. Adarabba. But only with tayyib and only with chesed. But otherwise, you could justify what you're saying and what you're doing, and you could hide under some religious cloak, and that's not where it's coming from at all. It's coming from kinna, from jealousy, or from some other stupid thing. You just enjoy saying bad things. You're a little bit of a schlechter. I'm sorry, you know, you're not such a nice person. You know, you like to say bad things. Now that's a hard thing to come to terms with. I'm not such a nice person. Maybe I'm not as nice as I thought I was. But if you walk away from that negative comment that you made saying, no, I'm very nice, and I did Hashem a favor by saying something bad about a Jew who's not living up to his expectations, so then we're seeing just the opposite. All the tzaddikim thought fakir. In the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, it says in the Baal Shem Tov that he loved the biggest Rasha more than any person ever loved his own child. Do we know what that means? The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, he was very religious. He was very religious. He was very careful. He was a halachic Jew. And looked the ahava, the love of another Jew, to see the milus. Everybody knows the million stories you have from Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshava, right? Just to say the name of Rabbi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha, to see milus in other Yid and how Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshava, he saw milus, or the milus that he saw in the Yid. Right? You know the fame, so many stories, but the Yid that went out with his thousand tefillin. And he went out with his thousand tefillin to oil the wagon before davening was over. And all the people in the shul said, oh, the guy goes in his thousand tefillin, he's oiling his wagon. And the Baditshava said, oh, Rabbi Shalom, look what children you have. Even when he's oiling his wagon, he doesn't want to be separated from you. He wants to have his thousand tefillin on. And look how subtle the difference is. So everybody thinks, Rabbi Yitzchak, like they say now by the goyim, get real, Rabbi Yitzchak. And I remember years ago we were in a bungalow colony when we were first married, and I was so moved because Sunday morning there was a guy that was going out with his thousand tefillin walking out to the field. And I thought this is beautiful, like he wanted like a moment, you know, alone with the Ben Shalom. And then he came back in and he said at the top of his voice, boys, it's going to be rough in the outfield, it's slippery out there. You know, because Sunday morning for the softball game. And like I was thinking, you know, I was trying so hard to be like Reb Levi Yitzchak, you know, I was trying like to have a good thought. Now, the difference, of course, between me, Lahavdil, and Reb Levi Yitzchak is that even after he would say that Reb Levi Yitzchak Baditshava would still love him. But I walked back upset. I went back to the bungalow. Disgusting. Guy goes out in his thousand film to see if the field is going to be good for the softball game. Ah, disgusting, despicable thing. What does it mean to be Mlamas Chus on the Yid? Why is it? Why? What's the Shirish? Why do I have bad things to say about people? That's what he says, let's finish the paragraph, that there's something wrong inside of me that's causing me to say these things, to act this way. Instead of thinking that it's his problem, it's my problem. Many times we think that it's coming, that there's something else. Sheinam asibus amitius, and it's not the true reason that I said those things. And that's what I was just saying. How very often we think that it's coming from something good inside of me, something that's very religious inside of me, that I'm intolerant, you know, I'm intolerant of anything that's against, you know, that's against halacha. It's not coming from anything that's religious inside of you. It's not that you're so holy. It's just because shver midas, that there are midas inside of you that you didn't work on. Pchusis ma'oid, very low things inside. Shenimtsoim b'hanefesh b'hamis shebesecheinu, that come mamish from the nefesh b'hamis, from the animal soul, not from anything holy, not from anything pure, but mamish from the nefesh b'hamis. Really, ad kan is the hakdamah to the whole inyan of focusing on tikkun hamidos. And next week we're going to begin in Mitzvah Hashem to talk about this inyan of kinna and ayin ra b'frat, the midah of kinna. Where does that come from inside of us? How can we detect inside of ourselves the midah of kinna? And how do we take what practical things can we do to be shayrish, to uproot, to remove completely from within ourselves the midas akinna, so that the Baruch Hu will have nachas ruach from us, and they will have nachas ruach from each and every Jew that we meet.